Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Macy from Romance in the Wild Instagram account. Hi, Macy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a neurodiverse own voices writer. I'm a huge romance reader. I'm also a dental student. And my most important job is a stage mom to my two cats, Zadie and Yaya.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
My camera roll is just like all cats all the time.
I love it. Yeah, I had a cat. She passed away last year. She lived for 16 years. She had a long life.
That is a long life.
But I have to say, like, I'm thinking of getting a cat. I just moved, so
do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of getting a cat, and I was like, okay, like, that's the only thing I'm thinking about is all the pictures I can take.
I know, right? And all the cuddles. Yeah, I mean, I want like six more, so yeah. I'm not gonna talk you out of that one.
Yeah, so I think once I get a job, that's probably gonna be the next step, is to just adopt. Although there's no cats right now, everyone has adopted and fostered them, so which is great.
Yeah, which is so nice, but still, you know, everybody needs kitties right now.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's a sign of our time. We're like, you know, we're at home, we might as well get some pets, get some kitties, some bunnies.
Yeah, some comfort animals, and like, yeah.
This is awesome. So, Macy, you read romance. When did you start reading romance?
I would say I inadvertently was attracted to the genre when I was like a teenager and reading YA with mainly romance themes. But it wasn't until college that I discovered like the glory that is the adult romance genre. And I just like did a deep dive, and I really discovered it at a time when I was like in a challenging and really stressful place in my life. And so, you know, having that guaranteed happily ever after just like had me devouring the books as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. I will be honest, I started reading romance about 3 years ago, and I did not realize there was happily ever after. Like, I did not realize that was like a big thing about romance. Like, yeah. romance, like happily ever after. I just knew that the books made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all those feel good chemicals. It's just like the best thing ever.
Yeah, I was like, it just makes you feel happy. Like, there's, yeah, social conflict, there's some angst, and there's, like, and I was reading a lot of angsty romance at the time, so I was like, okay, you know, you get it. But it was, like, something to just, everything got resolved. Like, I love the ending, but I knew it was going to be a fine ending.
Yes, exactly. It's, like, when things are so uncertain in the real world, it's, like, knowing that this book is going to end happily and everything's going to work out is just, like, the promise that I need right now.
Yes. Yes, it's the one thing we can control. It's going to happen happy ever after.
Yes, the one thing we can control.
Yeah, I think romance is a perfect antidote for this time of the year, where we're like, we're living uncertain, we're feeling grief, we're feeling lost, we're feeling all these different feelings, and just planning romance to be like, it can be feel good. You can actually have a good relationship. You can learn about that.
You can
have people who are happy at the end.
I completely agree. And I think like, I just think like, what's so amazing about romance too is that it not only like shows this couple going on a beautiful journey and like discovering each other and like their love for each other, but there's always just such like individual growth too, and autonomy and like embracement of sexuality. And I just think that that's like inherently feminist and just super amazing. And like, there's nothing better than seeing all of the different ways that people and couples can fall in love. And I just think it's so beautiful.
Yes, it is amazing. So, God bless romance.
God bless romance. It's getting me through.
It is. The only thing that's getting me through this whole period, like, I'll be honest, talking about romance, like, chatting about it, reading romance, discovering new romance, it's been, like, what's been, you know, happy dopamine, whatever.
Yes.
Romance are, like, spreading around.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's, like, I could not imagine, like, picking up a mystery or, like, a psychological thriller right now and trying to read it. I, like, need as much promise of like happy soft feelings as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. And we're frying pan turkey. Yay. So you also write rom-coms. What inspired you just to get started?
Honestly, it was so like I said, I'm studying to be a dentist, and I was reading a lot of medical romances, and I remember thinking, I was like, you know what would be cool, like, to read a romance about a dentist. And then I like was searching for one, I couldn't find one, and then like Smart Bitches Trashy Books was doing like a romance rec thing where like you give them something and they'll wreck it, and I asked if they had any dentistry ones, and they did it, and I was like, you know what, I should just give it a go. And so I'm really stressed in my program. It's really stressful. We go through the same medical curriculum that like med school goes through, but you know, in a different amount of time. And so I was kind of like channeling all that stress and like trying to make it funny and happy and like kind of find the beauty in it. And so I just kept at it. And then I actually had something readable once it was all said and done. And so then I started like the query process with agents. And so now I'm represented by Kelly Martin at Wendy Sherman and Associates. And as of right now, my book is on submission with editors. So I'm just like keeping my fingers crossed with that. But I just like, everybody says read the story or write the story that you want to read. And that's kind of what I wanted to read at the time.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. And I write my characters. So I'm neurodiverse. I have acute panic syndrome. I have adult ADHD and I have depression. And so I wanted to like really highlight that and like have my characters experience similar neurodiversities, and just kind of like show like humor and lightness and like happiness in the midst of all those things that are so like difficult to deal with on a daily basis. And so that was like a major goal with my rom-com, its own voices for that. So I'm just hoping it finds a home somewhere.
I love it. I love reading own voices. I feel like we need to have more of those. Just because it's like, I want to identify, you know, I want to see my struggles in paper. Mm-hmm. I want to see my culture in paper. I want to see my anxiety in paper.
Yeah.
Like I want them to see happily ever after, you know. It's like, it's not just like, you get to see the character broken down by depression, but there's like the joy of like falling in love, like having a happy ever after. Like there's like the idea that it's possible, that goodness can happen despite the challenges, despite the stuff that you come in.
I completely agree. It's like, it's taking the pain that comes from that and like learning not only how to deal with it like yourself, but also then having a partner come in and like learn, you know, how to support you and help you, and kind of just finding somebody that like cares for you through that, I think can be like really empowering. And so I agree. I just love Own Voices works, and I just applaud, you know, authors that take it on and like real, because there are some that are so challenging to put onto paper, and some people just do it so well, and I just really admire those writers.
Yeah, this is awesome. And I just didn't realize I've never read a dentist.
Right? Because everybody hates dentists. Like, it's just like true. Everybody hates the dentist. And like, everybody's scared of the dentist. But there's a lot of good oral puns that can come from like a dental setting. So I just like, I had to go with it.
So I asked this question to all my writers. Mm-hmm. Are you a potter or are you a pantser?
I'm a mix of both. So I'm like a plantster. So when I first like get an idea, I sit down and I just roll with it as much as possible. I like I word vomit and like just put as many ideas as possible onto the page, because I don't know why, but that's how like creative ideas come to me, just in like these big bursts. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I start thinking about like, okay, what can I do with this? Like, what is, you know, what would the actual plot be here? And then one of the first questions I ask myself, and this like might sound a little like melodramatic, but I ask myself like, what is the character's trauma? Because I think all people, like, even if it's something really subtle that like isn't necessarily defined as trauma, or it is something that's been like, you know, a really like traumatic event, we all have some level of trauma in us that like shapes who we are as people. You know, it motivates us, it influences our defense mechanisms, our sense of humor, the way we talk to people. And so I think like identifying that is one of my first like big steps in the process. And then I use that to just piece it together. I've also heard my style like described as knitting. So like I will come up with an idea for a scene, and it could be like at the end of the book or at the very beginning, and I just write out of order and then go back and knit them all together. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's a weird, messy process, but it gets the job done, I guess.
I love it. I think it's, I'm fascinated how authors like come together in these great stories, and the whole process, like how they just weave it together. They do some magic, because it's like, yes, it's just magic.
Yeah. And there are some writers out there where I like just the twists and turns that they take you on. I'm like, how does your brain even work like that you can think of that? Like, that's just so clever. I'm just amazed by authors too, to be honest, especially when they like, you know, just come up with these insane ideas and make it work so well.
Yeah, this is awesome. What do you love about the process of writing?
It's like really cathartic for me, I think. It's nice to... It's almost like a control thing. Like, it's nice to be in control of like this little world and like be able to, you know, have good things happen, or have, you know, or like, you know, take external bad things and like put them on people and see how they react to it. And I really enjoy trying out new ideas. And I really like dialogue too. Like, I love writing characters that are just talking, and I put a lot, large emphasis on female friendships. I think, I think that's so important to show them realistically too. Like, I think any friendship, it has a certain level of mess to it. You know, like, you're not always going to be like the perfect friend to somebody. And so you need to like find those nuances where it's real, but you have those people that you go back to again and again, because, you know, it's like found family basically. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of the process. And it's almost like taking a situation in real life where I feel like I said the wrong thing, or I was like, oh, I wish I would have thought to say that. Like, it's almost like you can rework real conversations in real life and like make them come out perfectly and stuff. So I think that's really fun.
That's really fun. I love it. And I love the fact you incorporate female friendships. I feel like there's quite a few books out there, but there's, even just for a while, there was not a lot of female friendships. Mm-hmm. You know, the messiness of that. Like, you know, the friendship breakups, the friendships getting to know each other, how to make friends as an adult.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, how do you make friends as an adult? It's hard. Like, it's a weird time, like, making friends as an adult, I feel like. So...
It is like a whole process. Like, like, I think when I moved to New York when I was 26, and it took me, I would say, like 3 years to start making friends. Like, because New York is like a weird place. Mm-hmm. So it was like weird. And now, like, I have those friends have been around for like 10 years. And now I'm like, I moved to a new place, and I'm like, I need to start making friends. And it's like a whole process. Like, you're like, okay.
Okay. And now you're trapped inside. So that like sets you back a little while too.
Yeah, so, but it's funny enough, like, actually talking about it and thinking about it, I actually made friends in this month. Like, I made my Instagram friends. I actually moved them away from Instagram and connected with them on text or Zoom call.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Podcast, like actually start making friends that way. Like it was funny enough, like actually think about it, I've been able to build a really nice community outside just me at home.
That's amazing. I love that so much. I mean, it just goes to show like the internet's like a scary place, but it also it has so many beautiful aspects to it. And like, you know, just the ability to like make friends like that where you're not in the same spot, but like able to communicate and stuff. I'm so happy for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was like thinking about it because I actually reconnected. I've been in a fitness class. I took this fitness class 10 years ago. On a whim, it was like weird fitness class where we just did aerobics, like Jane Fonda, like, you know, breathing and stuff. But then we shouted affirmations. So it was like weird. Like you just said, like, I'm loved. You're like grapevining your way. And you're like, I am love. I have what I want. All these different things. So I took this fitness class 10 years ago. And we actually kept in touch over a gratitude list. For 10 years, like on and off, we've been sending each other's gratitudes. And so a few weeks ago, we haven't seen each other in like 7 or 8 years. And one of the girls was like, let's just do a Zoom meetup. And it was amazing. Like,
oh my God.
Being together, we haven't seen each other in like 7 years. We used to see each other in a fitness class. And we're like, how do you meet? Like, it's like a random place to meet. And we all just came together and realized, like, you know, like, this is a nice community. Like, we are able to build, like, we're able to be honest and share about it. But it's the most random places where you make friends. Like, that's one thing. It's like,
that is such a great story. I love that. I want to take a fitness class like that.
Yeah. Like, actually, I had good luck to not making friends in fitness classes because you go to torture. Like, you know, torture you. And you just, like, you might as well be like, okay, we went through the same torture. You might as well be like,
oh my God, that's so awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I moved to Chicago and I'm like, all right, like that's the first thing I did. I actually went to happy hour for an influencer that I haven't started following her like just recently. And the girls who were in the happy hour have been following her for like years, like almost 10 years. But I met a friend that way and I was like, okay, like this is good. And then I started going to fitness classes and I was like, I was kind of sad that I couldn't go anymore because I don't work out at home. Like, I'm sorry. Like it's fine and dandy. I probably watch you work out, but I just don't do it at home. I need to have other people go through the same torture as me.
Yes.
Zoom doesn't count for that. So I'm like, I need to make friends. Like, I was so sad. It's like so lost. Like, okay, I can't. You know, make friends going through the same torture. So, it's like a creative. So, but it became kind of like a place to start making friends.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. Well, it's a great place to do that too. Yeah. There's so many like genuine, amazing people on there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the nice thing about it. It's like, it's a nice community. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, once you remove the clutter, remove the stuff, you know, I think it just like you get to find genuine people who want to do good work, who love reading, who want to share about it, who want to talk about it. And that's what I like about Bookstagram. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that aspect. There are a lot of things it annoys me. There's a lot of drama, but there's the other stuff is like fine.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I completely agree. And it's like when it comes down to the base of it, of like just shouting from the rooftops about books you love, I think that's like the coolest thing. And yeah, I could do without the drama, but that's okay. It comes with anything, I think.
It does. I think it's just like, it's like high school, you know? Like, you know, there's like cliques, there's popular kids. It's like, it's a high school thing. So you're just realizing like, okay, like I accept that. And I bring in, like, I actually outreach to people that feel genuinely, like they'll be like cool people to talk to, or we have things in common and that's what I would go for, as opposed to being like, okay, you know, let's count how much book mail you got.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, the book mail.
I can't. Actually, I've been good about that. Like, actually, I get rid of most of my book mail. Like I had a publisher who sends me a lot of book mail and I really don't like it. So I'm like, I just get rid of it. Like, and I've been telling the publisher, I was like, please stop sending me stuff. Like, I'm fine with e-galleys. Like, I'm fine with just sending e-copy. Like, I'm not even tired of like word books. It just doesn't come in alignment with me. Like, I'd rather have like just e-copy because that's what I primarily read faster in Kindle. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense for me. But yeah, it's like I could not care less about Wood Bow.
I completely agree. I completely agree.
So we digress. All right, let's talk about romance again.
Yeah.
All right, so you adore virgin heroes. Tell me what sets this hero apart from the rest.
All right, I do adore virgin heroes. I have named myself the patron saint of virgin heroes. It honestly is like an introspective idea though for me. Like, to me, I think it's really interesting social commentary to have a male virgin in your romances, because like obviously the current paradigm with society is that like females are supposed to be pure, and it like virginity assigns women worth and it gives them value, and which is so archaic in thinking. But then on the other hand, men are supposed to have like all of this sexual experience, they're supposed to have all these notches in their belts, and like are supposed to be this like hypersexual beings and stuff. And so taking the virgin hero kind of like takes that paradigm and turns it on its head. And it, you know, it like the world that we live in right now obviously like contributes to rape culture and amplifies this idea that men have like this insatiable sexual urge. Mm-hmm. But when you have a male virgin, it's like more of this idea of like rising above toxic masculinity and like male gentleness and like the ability to refrain and like just have some self-restraint and like still invest like the love aspect of like sex and relationships and stuff. And then on a much less serious note, I think the virgin hero is just like so funny to read too, because like once they lose their virginity, like the inner monologue always makes me like blush and giggle like a crazy person. And I just think like it's hilarious that they always just, you know, deliver an orgasm like, oh, like yeah. No big deal.
Like it's like you're in a way like candy. You're like, here you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like candy on Halloween. It's like, and an orgasm for you. It's like Oprah giving out cars. Like it's hilarious and like unrealistic, but you know, like I think it's super fascinating, and I think that they all have a lot of like, I think it reflects really interestingly on society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you have any favorite virgin heroes or
I books? Do
okay, what are some of them?
Okay, so some of my favorite virgin heroes, Winter Makepeace from A Thief of Shadows by Elizabeth Hoyt. This was my most recent virgin read, and this book was so good. I refer to him as like Virgin Georgian Batman, because he like runs around saving people in St. Giles. It's a Regency romance, and he's like dressed in this Harlequin outfit, and he's just like Batman in Georgian times, and then he's also like this virgin. And the book is just phenomenal. It's like really steamy, but also is such like, it's so intricate. It has like really great commentary on social classes. And then the relationship with the heroine is really awesome too, because she's a widow. So she has like this experience, and you know, he lives a life of like abstaining from like frivolous things, but she enjoys like, you know, kind of quote unquote more frivolous things. And so it's just like a super amazing book. Another one that's like a little more emotional is The Highwayman by Kiergan Byron, I think it's her last. Yes, thank you. So that one is like, that one's a heavier book and lots of like angst and hardship in that one, but it's really beautiful. And then I have to give a shout out to Tessa Dare and her Lord Dashwood Missed Out novella. I think I've gotten like 9 people to read this one so far, because I just talk about it nonstop. But it's like, it's just a bite-sized novella, like less than 100 pages, but it's hilarious. Like it's a surprise double virgin. Like it's so good. And I love that one. So like, that would probably be my biggest rec for the virgin heroes.
Yeah. I'm picking all those free books up. So yeah. They're added to my TBR, my never-ending TBR.
Oh god, the never-ending TBR.
That's awesome. So who are your favorite heroes?
Okay, so I like am in a very real turf war over Sebastian St. Vincent from The Devil in Winter by Lisa Kleypas. My friend Gigi on Bookstagram, she claims that he's her number one book boyfriend, but he and I are very happy together right now. We just would respect like everybody's privacy at this time because we're just like living our best life. No, but he's just like the epitome of a reformed rake, and that whole book is hilarious. And he's just, oh, he's so dreamy. And then on the contemporary side, I would say my ultimate book boyfriend is Ansel from Sweet Filthy Boy by Christina Lauren.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, he's French, number one.
He's French.
And yeah. Like I could just leave it there. Like, my God. And then, but then he's like considerate and thoughtful and gorgeous, but also filthy. So he's like a sweet, filthy boy. And, I mean, Christina Lauren, they write such incredible heroes in general. But he's definitely up there for me. And then I would also say, Ethan Ransom and Reese Winterbourne are also Lisa Kleypas heroes that I adore. Mm-hmm. And then Colin Lord Payne from A Week to Be Wicked by Tessa Dare, because he is so funny and like hilarious and just such a mess. He is a hot mess and I just love him for it.
I love it. I love all these heroes and I read most of them, which is amazing. I gotta go through my Tessa Dare. Like I've been on and off reading her for this mm-hmm. past year, and I'm just going through her backlist right now. So
she is like, she's so amazing because like, you know, sometimes historical romances can feel a little dense, but her writing is just like, it's like eating lemon sherbet. It's just like light and like delicious and refreshing and so funny, especially like in the historical genre. And she's like a breath of fresh air. I love her works.
Yeah, I feel like Tessa Dare is like the gateway to historical romance. Like, if you never remember historical romance, you feel like, oh, is she like not feminist? It's not cute. It's going to be old school English. I'm like, read Tessa Dare.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
and then you're going to be converted. And then you're going to go down the rabbit hole and start reading Lisa Kleypas, Julie Quinn, and all the others.
Yes, all of them. Yeah, all the goddesses of historical romance right there. No, I completely agree. Tessa Dare is the gateway drug into historical romance.
It really is. So, all right, so let's talk about romance tropes. What are some of your favorite tropes?
Besides the virgin hero, I'm a big fan of One Bed at the Inn. And I mean, like, does anything get better than one? It makes me blush.
Just one bed. I have to say, I adore, or just one carriage, or just one tent, one sleeping bag, whatever it is, just one thing.
Yeah, as long as there's just one. As long as there's one and they have to share. Oh my God, I'm like literally blushing just thinking about it. But A Week to Be Wicked does that one so well too. Have you read that one?
Yeah, who wrote it?
Tessa Dare. And it's part, so it's the second one in her Spindle Cove series.
Okay.
I like, please put it at the top of your TBR. It's one of my favorite romances of all time. Like, it is so good. It's hilarious. And there's one bed at the end. So like, it's just perfect. It is so perfect.
I'm buying it right now. That's how much I'm doing.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. And then I love Enemies to Lovers. I think most people really like that one. And I think The Hating Game is just like a masterclass in Enemies to Lovers and just how well that can be done. And then Beautiful Bastard by Christina Lauren is another one that does that really well. And Lord of Scoundrels by Loretta Chase. It's kind of a more old school historical. But I was busting out laughing reading that one because like the hero is so extra. He is just like, he's so dramatic.
I hated the hero. Like, I literally hated the hero. He was so emotional. He was like, I'm like, no, please don't. I'm in her mind, but it cannot be the hero.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry. I have to disagree. I love Dane because he was so extra. Like, he was doing the absolute most and it was cracking me up. And then Jessica Trent, right? Like, yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. She was just like giving it back to him so good. And like that, I was just busting out laughing with that whole. Yeah, but so I'm a big fan of enemies to lovers. And then, I have like a natural soft spot for friends to lovers too. And then when the grumpy falls for the sunshine, I think that's so precious and adorable. And I would say one of the best ones I've read for that recently was Widow of Rose House, which came out at the end of last year, I think. But that one's really good, and Sam is a great hero. And I really recommend that one too.
I love it. Yeah, I think Widow of the Rose House has been mentioned, not on the podcast, but been mentioned by good friends who read it and absolutely adore it.
It's so good.
So I've actually borrowed a few times from the library, but it's weird because I have it on the ones that I have to read from my phone. So it's like less likely that I'm going to read it, but it's weird. Like, here's the question. Does it justify paying $9.99 for the book?
I own a copy and I have no regrets. Like, okay. I think Sam is, it's a really unique romance, I think. It's pretty low steam, I'll say. But, like, when there are scenes, like, they're so well done. And then it also, I just think it has such fabulous character development. Like, the heroine is incredible. She's suffering from PTSD. And, like, her story is really moving and beautiful. And she's so strong. And then Sam, the hero, is just, like, this puppy dog sunshine that like it's really good. So I definitely recommend it. But I don't know. It's so hard to play with somebody else's money. Like when you're like,
I know. I have to see where my TBR looks like. Cause right now it's a little full, but I think it might be something that I may just invest on it. And I've done it before. I've done it in the past and who knows, it might go on sale. So yeah. You don't know. But I've done it in the past. When I invest in a 99 book, you know, most of the time it has been like reviewed and loved by multiple people. And then I finally read like The Hating Room was one of them. The Idea of You is another one that I read and I read in the setting and I absolutely love it. And it was like the best 10 launches night.
Oh yeah, I love it when it's like books live up to the hype. That's so nice.
Awesome. So now let's talk about what is your least favorite trope.
Oh, I cannot stand a love triangle. Like, I cannot do it. I cannot take the pain. I can't take the hurt and the angst. Like, I cannot with a love triangle.
Me too. Yeah, I think it's just too angsty for me. Will they? Won't they? I'm not sure. You know, who's it going to fall in love with? Who's going to, and then the one left behind.
Yes. It hurts so much. I can't take it.
All right. So you love historical romance and rom-coms. And so what have been some of your favorite books this year?
So I've been reading a lot of, like backlists so far this year, instead of new releases. And I have been leaning really heavily into historical, just like with everything that's going on with like, the pandemic right now and everything, historical has been a super nice escape. So yeah. I'm not offering the best contemporary recs right now, but like some of my favorites so far that I've read this year, Chasing Cassandra was so good. That was the end to the Ravenel series. I really loved it. I read Lord of Scoundrels this year, which I mentioned earlier. And then, Widow of Rose House, that was read this year. That was my first book of 2020, and it was just like a great way to start it off. And then I was so late to the game on this one, but Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating. Okay. I read that one just a couple weeks ago, actually, and I adored it. I thought it was so funny and just laugh out loud hilarious and just very cute. And Hazel is such a great character. So those have been some of my favorites so far.
Love it. I think we can agree on most of them except Lord of Scoundrels, but we're
You won't hold it against me.
I won't hold it against you. We all have different reading tastes. candles have been well known, and you know, it's been, I don't know, 20, 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I love it. So to me, the dissenting minority, it just, that's totally
fine. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your respect at this time.
So, what has been some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
I was really excited for Undercover Bromance by Lisa K. Adams, and it was excellent, really funny. I can't wait for The Bride Bet by Tessa Dare and to finish out that series and, you know, see how she, because I think that's the last one. Yeah, that should be the last one in the series.
Yeah, the last one. It's the last friend. That's, you know, it's kind of sad that it's going to come.
But I love how she always like incorporates like the past characters too. So I'm just really excited to read that one. I can't wait to read The Rake S by Scarlett Peckham.
So I told you I'm reading it right now, and amazing.
I'm so jealous.
It's so good. It's like one woman, like they take that to the next level. A hero who's so swoony, a single parent, single widow hero. It's like so good.
Ooh, oh my god, so much catnip right there. I cannot wait. And I love that cover too. That cover is just like amazing.
So good.
And then I'm a big Julia Quinn fan, so I'm excited for First Come Scandal, which I think comes out like April 21st. So that will be super good. I've heard that that has a virgin hero, so I'm very excited. Oh, you read it?
It has a virgin hero. It is so good. I need to read the prequels, the other books in the series. I read it as a standalone, and it's fine. The hero is going to school for medical. He's going to medical school. So he actually has to work. He has to work. And it's a merchant convenience. There's a virgin hero. And there's cameos for Anthony, Benedict, and Baby Colin.
Oh my God. Amazing. I am so excited. I actually have an arc for that one. So I've been like, because I know I'm going to read it and like, a day, and so I'm trying to hold out until it's a little closer to release so I can just like scream about it all over Bookstagram. But yeah, I'm really, really excited for that one. And then this one comes out later in the year, but The Roommate by Rosie Dannon. That one Berkeley is publishing, and that I heard she's describing it as a raunch-com, which I think is hilarious. And so I'm really excited to get my hands on that one.
I'm excited about that one, too. That's kind of, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
So where we can find you online?
My Bookstagram is where I most often post things, and it's at Romance in the Wild with a period in between every word, which, so obviously I didn't think about this name before I came up with it, like, saying it out loud. So it's romance.in.the.wild. And then on Twitter, God, these are so embarrassing. On Twitter, I'm FoxyGrandpa27. very professional. And then I write for, I have a column on Frolic where I talk about self-care and reading. So you can find some of my articles there. And then I run a blog where I talk a little bit more about writing and mental health. And that's romanceinthewild.home.blog.
I love it. Thank you, Macy, for being in the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a blast. I like highlighted my week right here.
This is so much fun. I really love talking romance with you.
Oh, me too. Anytime. I loved it. You're just the sweetest.
Awesome. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatsreaditsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.